This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Honest, you do.
At first I thought it was infatuation, but ooh, it's lasted so long. Now I find myself...
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12 o'clock. Tomorrow, we're going to be at Maryville University. If you want to stop by and say hello, we're going to be there from 10 to 1 in the gym area. Lonny Folks and Mark Stricker are going to stop by. We're going to be talking Maryville sports. We're excited to be there. And they sponsor the phone lines. It is great stuff. We are thrilled to be at Maryville tomorrow. We're thrilled to talk with Rob Raines today. He has landed in Jupiter, Florida, and there's a lot of wind going on. Rob, what's going on? How are you?
Frank, how are you?
Oh, boy. Rob, you're going to have to get to an area that we can talk here. There's a lot of wind. Are you there now? Yeah, we'll try to hook up with that in just a moment. So, Plowsy, the Illini...
played well against Wisconsin.
They did.
I mean, that's really all you can hope for. I mean, now that this win, you know, you're getting some big wins, you kind of expect to be in these close games, even against a ranked team. I thought they played well.
I think that if you go to Wisconsin and you're in that thing till the end.
I mean, they're tied with 3 minutes to go.
Yeah. It was a big three-point play by Io. Remember on that drive, he got fouled to tie the game at 52. I'll tell you what, who in that Big Ten scares you?
Oh, Michigan, I think, is the team.
Okay. Yeah.
But there's a lot of really good teams.
If you throw Michigan out of the equation, Illinois could beat anybody.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be just insane if they were to go
I would put a 1% chance of that happening in the Big Ten tournament, but it's always a chance.
Yep. All right, let's rejoin Rob Raines. Rob, good to be with you. How are you, sir?
Just wondering.
Yes. All right. Just the news yesterday first. With Carlos Martinez in the shoulder, I get the impression, even if he's okay, Carlos Martinez is not getting 30 starts this season.
It doesn't seem like he'll be having enough time to get ready to be a starter from the start of the regular season if this injury does, in fact, shut him down from throwing for a couple of weeks. So he really hasn't had enough time to even get into a start of a throwing program yet for the spring. So I would think, yeah, you're looking at least, you know, to start the season, having him being some other kind of role if he's able to pitch at all.
So gut feeling, if Reyes is throwing pain-free, do you believe that he gets the first shot to be in the five-man rotation?
The answer should be yes to that, but the problem is how many innings are they going to really try to, you know, put a limit on for Reyes for this year after the last 2 years? Their whole goal for him this year is just to get him through the season healthy without any more injuries. And, if he throws, you know, 30 starts, you know, you're looking at 180 innings probably, and I think that's probably more than they want him to pitch. So that would be my only concern there. I think he's earned that shot. He wants to be a starter. Certainly he is a starting pitcher once he's healthy and ready to go. But I think that's one of the things we'll just have to kind of evaluate as spring goes on. I think Dakota Hudson could fill that role too. And then you have, you know, Gomber and some other guys that even would be possibilities if they decide to go that route.
Yeah, that's interesting because Dakota, seemingly as the minor league pitcher of the year, would be the ideal next guy up. But he's also ideal, at least he showed it last year, out of the bullpen. John Gant has got to be right there, too, with Dakota Hudson.
Yeah, and don't forget Gant's out of options, too. So that increases his chances of being on the club in some capacity. I mean, they've got, you know, just talking about this with somebody else, they've got three guys really out of that staff with Gant, Jason Shreve, and Mike Myers, who are all out of options after this year. So they're all good enough that I don't think you're going to be able to send them to Memphis if, you know, they'd have to clear waivers. So I think if they're not going to be on this big league club, they'll be somebody else's big league club because they're good enough to pitch in the big leagues. So they're just going to have to try to – I just don't know there's going to be spots for all three of those guys on the big league staff.
So after Andrew Miller, who's going to make the team from the left side in the bullpen, gut feel?
Well, the gut feel is what's Brett Cecil got. I mean, I know that sounds, you know, everybody thinks it's easy just to get rid of him and eat the money, but they don't like to do that, you know. So, I mean, if he's come to camp in good shape. He's lost a bunch of weight over the winter, so he's going to get the first chance. I think just because of his seniority and the fact that they owe him, you know, the most money for the next couple of years. So, you know, Shreve, I think, pitched well. And then you've got, you know, the wild card is this kid, Genesis Cabrera, who had a dominating winter ball season. One of the guys I got from Tampa Bay last year for the Tommy Pham trade, 22-year-old kid who can throw close to 100. I mean, there's no downside to sending him to Memphis to start the season either, but they're real intrigued by what he can offer, and they're going to take a long look at him this spring as well.
Yeah, I watched him throw last week. Could he be a starter eventually? Is that what they look at him as?
I mean, he's been a starter primarily, but his problem has been kind of control issues and throwing strikes. And then when they put him in the bullpen this winter in the Dominican, he really, really was able to focus a lot better and had a lot more strikeout-to-walk ratio. So that's why I say that's one of those guys that they don't really know yet what role he's going to fill at some point. He's kind of like Helsley. I mean, he's been a starter all along, but they think if they put him in the bullpen, he could be really dominant out there.
Rob Raines joins us from Jupiter, Florida, Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. I know that there's certainly a great deal of trepidation with Dexter Fowler and him coming back and being successful. But I'll tell you what, I'm really not that concerned, because if he's not, then after a month, you go to two guys who you have a pretty good idea can hit, and that's Jose Martinez and Tyler O'Neill. You have great insurance if Fowler fails.
Well, the one thing you don't know is how long of a rope are they going to give Fowler to fail. You know, I mean, does he get just spring training? Does he get the first month of the season? Does he get till the All-Star break? I mean, that's what we don't know. What, you know, and I guess it all kind of depends on how, you know, how he's doing. If he's hitting 250, is that considered a failure? Or is he hitting 200? Is that considered a failure? You know, I think they just have a sliding scale there. They're going to have to figure that out depending on how everything else is going. And don't forget that part of the problem that with Fowler playing so poorly the start of last season was there were other guys like Matt Carpenter playing poorly too. You know, if you have guys carrying the load, you know, if Goldschmidt's hitting 400 and hitting bombs, and the Young's playing well, and Molina's playing well, and Carpenter's hitting well, playing third, you know, you could probably give Fowler a little bit more time to get it figured out than if you have four or five guys in the lineup who are all slumping at the same time.
What is the story with Marcelo Zuna and his ability to throw a baseball?
Mike Schilt said this morning that he's going to be game ready for day one of the games on Saturday as a DH. There was no indication of when he thinks he's going to be able to play in the field. But he is throwing. You know, he's gone on a throwing program. He's obviously certainly ahead of that hitting-wise. So I think I would be surprised, really, if you see him in the field until maybe the middle of March, maybe with about a week to 10 days to go in the spring. Maybe we'll see him out in the left field some.
Who do you think would end up getting more at-bats if one of the big three outfielders fails? I mean, does Jose Martinez get the next crack, or do you think it's Tyler O'Neill?
I would think it's Jose Martinez based on what he's done in the past. I think probably, too, it also depends if you're looking for a guy. You know, if somebody goes down and you know it's going to be out for a month, that's different than just spot starts, you know, here or there. You might give O'Neill a little bit more of a look if it's going to be a longer period of time, because then he can kind of settle in a little bit, whereas Martinez probably is more equipped to, you know, be a guy who could play one day and sit for two and then play another day. You know, so I think O'Neill's going to have a tough time, honestly, making the club to start spring training if they do keep both Martinez and Jerko, which I think there's room for both of those guys, but that's going to force somebody else out of the equation. And I think O'Neill could be that odd guy out again because he's young and got options, even though he's proved he can hit at the big league level.
Well, let's go over this. In terms of bench players, if it's Martinez, Jerko, one catcher, that's three, and then right. Munoz is four, and then the fifth is O'Neill?
Well, it depends, too. Are they going to open the season? I know they've talked about whether they're going to have 12 or 13 pitchers to start the season. So if you have 13 pitchers, you're only going to have four spots. You only have one more guy, which would probably be Munoz, I would think. But if it does open up to the 12 pitchers and you have the fifth spot, I would think the two guys would be O'Neill, or it could be Drew Robinson, the guy they got from Texas, the left-handed hitting guy who can play all over the place.
Rob Raines joins us, Hollywood Casino Press Box, on the all-new 590 The Fan. All right, let's talk a little bit about some of the young guns who may not make the team but really have a chance to be special. And these are guys that Rob Raines has actually seen in person, whether it's Peoria or Springfield or Memphis. Who's jumping out at you there? I guess we could start with Andrew Kisner, who's probably not going to make the team, correct?
Yeah, he's going to be the everyday catcher at Memphis. He really didn't play a whole lot of Memphis last year after coming up from Double A. So he'll be the everyday catcher at Memphis, and you know, see what if he can progress. You know, his offense is ahead of his defensive side of the game, so that's where you want to see the improvement from him. Is is you know, what he can do more to getting more reps, you know, more game experience defensively. Beyond him, I like Lane Thomas, the outfielder. He'll be in Memphis to start the year too. Had a really good season last year in Double A Springfield. I think he's a rising comer prospect. And then, you know, the kid, obviously, the three young third basemen are the guys that are probably the top prospects in the organization on the rise. And it's, you know, Nolan Gorman, their number one pick last year out of high school out of Arizona, who'll probably start the year back in Peoria. And then you got Montero, who was the MVP of the Midwest League last year. I would suspect he'll open the year in Palm Beach. And then a kid named Malcolm Nunez, who's actually a Cuban native, who was in the Dominican Summer League last year, 17 years old, and won the league triple crown. And I would suspect will start the season in the Gulf Coast League. Although they probably put him in extended, and then he might move to Johnson City, just depending on how he plays over the course of the season. And obviously also depends on who trickles down to where else or where they have an opening for a guy to play.
All right. What's jumping out at you about Paul Goldschmidt? What I observed was how polite, what a great teammate he is, how humble he is. What's jumping out at you?
Yeah, nothing to this point really, because, you know, today's only my first day in camp, so I saw him interact with some guys this morning, did a couple interviews, and, you know, seems like he's very confident, very calm, you know, very even-keeled. I think he's going to be a great leader for this team on and off the field, leading by example. And I think a lot of the guys that, you know, he's got locker placement. He's got DeYoung on one side of him and Colton Long on the other this spring. So I bet that was kind of a strategic move by the Cardinals to surround him by two guys he's going to be playing with every day. And, you know, not, you know, obviously younger than him as far as, you know, not kids, but it's still guys that are learning and on the upside of their career. So I think they're going to lean on him and ask advice and pick his brain. And you know, he seems very good about wanting to give credit to everybody who's here too, and not, you know, overstep his bounds and come in and acting all high and mighty. He's kind of learning the ropes and playing the game of talking to everybody and letting the people who've been here, you know, he gives deference to Molina and Wainwright and Carpenter as far as being the true leaders of the team, and did so by experience and by years of longevity and being here. So he'll earn his spot on that totem pole here, I think, pretty quickly, though.
Last week we were saying that, wow, you know, with the small movement going on in the free agency this baseball offseason, that it actually helps the Cardinals with Goldschmidt long term. And then presto, $300 million for Manny Machado, and who knows what Bryce Harper is going to get in the next 3 or 4 days. How do you view this long term, the Goldschmidt Cardinals relationship?
There's two ways to look at it. One is if Goldschmidt really likes it here and is happy, and Cardinals make him a reasonable offer, you know, that both sides agree is workable and is fair for a 31-year-old, you know, six-time All-Star player, I think there's a good chance he could stay, unless he really gets pressured by the agents and by the Baseball Players Association to test free agency. And if he feels like an obligation to you know, that side of the game to not sign a contract during the season, knowing he'd still come back to the Cardinals over the winter, too, then I could see maybe him holding off and waiting. But I don't know if I'm sure they will pressure him to do that. Whether he'll bow to that pressure or not, I don't know. And that may depend on how other parts of the negotiations between the union and the owners go, you know, over the next few months.
Yeah, I know it's a powerful union that's done a lot to help, you know, Major League Baseball players over the years. But if I'm Paul Goldschmidt, I say bug off. I'm not going to, just because you want me to test a free agency in the offseason, it's better for your union? No. If I happen to like the town I'm playing in and they want to offer me $125 million, I'm going to do what's best for me. I could care less about whether you think it's good for the union if I, you know, test a free agency.
I hope that's his attitude, and I hope that's what he does. But I've been around enough of these guys for enough years to know that sometimes that pressure is pretty overwhelming, you know, and they, you know, Jack Clark didn't want to go to New York either, you know, but pressure from the union made him do it. So when he left the Cardinals, so, you know, there's just this things like that happen. And so I don't know Goldschmidt well enough to know how he would react to that. You know, what, as I say, I think my guess is, my hope is that if the Cardinals are fair with their offer and come in with a very competitive offer and he likes it here and enjoys it here, that he would sign and not, you know, worry about what happens with the rest of the free agents. But I think only time will tell.
Yeah, I do know one thing is we're not going to get anything out of Goldschmidt in terms of insight on how he feels. Man, you will not get a word or a hint of what he's thinking.
very, very tight-lipped about that, yes.
Yeah.
I give him credit. That's good. I mean, those things shouldn't be played out in the media. You know, let him do his business, and when something is decided, we'll know about it.
Yeah, unless they want to break it on the press box. So, what does Matt Carpenter have to do to have the Cardinals pick up the option? And the option, is it $20 million?
It's right after that, I think, maybe 20 and a half or something like that, yeah.
What does he have to do this year to get that picked up?
I would say he has to have a pretty similar year to what he had last year without the bad start and the bad finish. You know, if he could hit, 300 or close to it, hit 30 home runs, could, score 100 runs, he probably won't get 100 RBIs hitting, leadoff. But I think, if he has a very solid offensive year, I think they would probably do that, because I don't think they've got anybody, they've got, as I mentioned, they've got the three young third basemen, but at the most, they're at least 2 years away. Gorman or Montero at the most would be at least 2 years away from playing in St. Louis, I think. So I think they would, be happy to have another year out of Carpenter at third base. And then also don't forget, if Goldschmidt were to leave, then you'd have Carpenter's available option to come back to first base. So I think they like that availability. But he has to have a good year, I think, and be able to, unless they want to try to, extend him but tie up that, last year they contracted into another kind of 2 or 3 year extension or something like that. I don't know if that's something they're thinking about or not.
All right. Finally, you have written a book, and I know we have a lot of people that are going to go down there to watch spring training games, the Grapefruit League. And part of the book is where you should stay, where you should eat, where you should drink in Jupiter, Florida. I'm partial to that Gumby Bay, which is right across the street from Roger Dean Stadium with the Maui Trio with the shrimps and scallop and a really great homemade dressing. Well, give us one idea that you like in Jupiter.
Well, we're kind of homebodies. We just don't go out a whole lot, but we're going to actually try to check out some of the places that were recommended to us by local people down here. Adam Wainwright contributed some restaurant recommendations, and some of the people who live in this area and work in this area the whole year round, some friends of ours, they recommended some places. So we're looking forward to checking out some of those places. We've got a couple little favorites, right? The Hurricane's always a good little spot over by by our restaurant. We're real fond of Duffy's Sports Grill, MVP Grill. They've got several locations in the area. They've got a great sports bar location. So we'll probably be at one of those places.
And how does anybody pick up the book if they want to find out more about where to eat and drink at all Cardinal minor league affiliates and in St. Louis and in Jupiter?
It's called All Roads Lead to St. Louis, a guide to the Cardinals and their minor league teams, and it's available at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. And also, of course, you can get it off our website directly, stlsportspage.com, and we'll send it out to you from there.
Good stuff, Rob. We'll talk in a month. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Frank.
All right. Rob Raines joining us. Let's take a short time out. Reminder, Maryville University tomorrow. We will be there broadcasting live. Come on by. We'll be in the gym area from 10 to 1 o'clock. Lonnie Folks, Mark Stricker, among others, joining Martin and myself. And a quick word about our good friends at the Bomarito Automotive Family. If you're looking for a car, we recommend a trip to bomarito.com. That way you can go through their whole inventory and find out what is the best car for you. And boy, do they have some cars. They have 20 new car locations. They have 9 pre-owned car locations, and they sell every car. We're talking Audis, Infinitis, Cadillacs, Buicks, GMCs, Chevys, Fords, Hondas, Volkswagens, Mazdas, Nissans, and Toyotas. Over 12,000 vehicles available. We'll take a break. We're coming right back.